Today, Shir in the Daf Yomi Zumor in Gittin Daf Lamed Tes. We begin six lines from the top, Lamed Tes Amud Aleph, with the words Lemu Ketanoi. At the end of yesterday's Shir, we had a machlokes as to what is the status of a person who is makdish his eved. Did it mean that the eved was actually Kodesh Lahashem, and that the value of that eved was belonging now to the Gizbar, to the Beis HaMikdash, or did it mean that the person was freeing his slave, he was saying he should join the Am Kodosh? So we had a discussion in the Machlokas about that yesterday, and the word continues. Let us say that this Machlokas that we had yesterday is actually a Machlokas Tanoim. Leimo Kitanoi. Again, Lama Tesimonalo, six lines on the top. And what is this Machlokas? It's based upon a Braisa. The Braisa says as follows. Hamakdish Avdo, if a person is Makdish is Eved, so then Ein Moalimbo. If you were to use that Eved, if you were to take something from that Eved, it doesn't belong to Hekdish, and therefore there is no din of Me'ila. Me'ila is when you usurp something accidentally from Hekdish, you have to go and pay back Hekdish the value of that item. You have to add on Chomesh, which is a fifth from the outside, which is really a fourth from the inside, as we've mentioned many times, and you have to bring in Korban Me'ila. So the Tanakhama in this Braisa says that if a person is Makdish is Eved, the Eved doesn't really belong to Hekdish. And therefore, there is no Me'ila if you usurp something of the Eved. As opposed to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Moalin Bisaro. You are Moel if you were to take the Eved's hair and use it. So then you cut off its hair and you use it. You make it into a shetel. You go and use it for a rope, whatever. So then you would, in fact, be over Me'ila for the value of that sar. Now, Gemara suggests, my love, Hokumidli, is this the machlokas between the Tanakam and Shimon Gamliel? The Marasa of our Kadosh, that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says that the Eved is, in fact, Kadosh. And therefore, you can be moil with the Eved's hair. Whereas the Tanakhama says that the Eved is not Kadosh, Umar Sovar lo Kadosh. Someone says, no, that's impossible, because with his brother, you really think that that's the machlokas over here between Tanakhama and Shimon Gamliel? If that were to be the case, why did they use the lashon of moilin or not moilin? Hi, moilin bo, the ain moilin bo? That's a strange way to phrase it. You should have just said, hi, Kadosh, the ain't no Kadosh we boil it. You should have said that the Tanakhama says the Eved is not Kadosh, and Shimon Gamliel says the Eved is Kadosh. Why did you mention specifically about the hair? Doesn't make sense to use this lashon of moalin if you're really talking about whether the Eved is Kadosh or not Kadosh. Say so specifically. And therefore, the Gemara suggests that the following really is the understanding of the machlokes between the Tanakhama and Shimon Gamliel. Ela dekuli alma Kadosh. In fact, everybody, even the Tanakhama, says that the Eved is Kadosh and he belongs to the Gizbar. When the person was Makdish the Eved belongs to the Gizbar. So then what do they argue about? They're arguing about the following. The Mar Sova, the Tanakhama, holds Avda Kimekakoi Dami, that an Eved has the status of Karka, and there is no din of Me'ila by Karka. If a person is Makdish his Karka to the Beis HaMikdash, so there is no din of Me'ila. If somebody goes and plants on that Karka, so there is no din of Me'ila. By definition, there is no din of Me'ila by Karka. As Rashi points out, the Gamrinon Me'ila Chait Chait Mitruma. This is the Xerushava that's learned out Chait Chait from Truma, and Ma Truma Betolush. So too, the obligation of Truma is only by something that is detached from the ground. So too, Af Me'ila Betolush is only something that's detached from the ground. And this is a Gemara in Me'ila and also in Torah's Kohanim. And therefore, there is no din of Me'ila by Karka, and an Eved has the halachic status of Karka according to the Tanakhama. Whereas Rishim Gamliel holds Rumar Sovar Kimetah, that we view Avadim as if they were metaltalin. And just like by metaltalin, there is a din of Mila, so too there is a din of Mila by the Eved. So let us say that this is the machlokas over here. How do we view the Eved? Is he Kimikar Kikoi, like the Tanakhama says, and therefore there is no din of Mila? Or is he viewed as metaltalin, like Rabbi Shimon Galil seems to say, and therefore there is a din of Mila? Where says, no, that's also incorrect, because if that were the case, Ihachi, so why are you arguing about his hair? Why did we specifically give the example of the hair? Ademiflugi Bisaro, instead of arguing about the hair, Tanakhama says there is no meal on the hair, and Rishon Gamliel says there is meal on the hair, Liflugu Begufo, why just the hair? It's the entire body. So if you're telling me that this is the machlokas, so why just on the hair? So where says again, you're right, that's correct, that can't be the machlokas. So what is the machlokas? Ella, in fact, both the Tanakhama and Rishon Gamliel, Ela Dekuli Alma Avdo Kimekar Koi Dami. Everybody holds that the Eved has the halachic status of Karka, and therefore there is no din of Me'ila because the Eved is Karka. But the hair is different. ha'omed ligazes komiflugi. They're arguing about the hair that is about to be cut, the hair that is too long, and now it needs to be cut. So how do we view this hair? The Eved himself, that's why they're not arguing about the Eved. Everybody agrees there is no din of Mila by the Eved, because the Eved has the halachic status of Karka, according to both the Tanakam and Rosh Hashanah, and there is no din of Mila. But the hair, v'hocha b'saro ha'omed ligazes komiflugi, with hair that is about to be cut, do we view it as if it's already been cut or not? If it's already been cut, then we view it as if it's detached already, and therefore there is a din of Mi'ila. Just like if you had wheat in the field and you detach the wheat, so the wheat is considered now something that you belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, and if you were to usurp it, if you did Mi'ila on it, you would be chayav for Mi'ila. So too, the hair. That's the machlokas here between Tana Kama and Rosh Hashanah Gamaliel. The Ma'asavar that Rosh Hashanah Gamaliel holds, Kigazuz Domi, we view it as if it's already been cut. So it's Omed ligazes kigazuz domi. A very famous idea that we have many places in Shas. Something that is standing to be cut is viewed already as if it's cut. And therefore, as Rashi points out, in kigazuz domi, the eno kimechubur lekarka, it no longer is considered as if it's attached to the ground. Oh, now it's metaltli. And by metaltli, there is a din of me'ila. So Rosh Hashanah holds that the hair, which is still physically attached to the person, but since it's waiting to be cut, omed ligozes, it's waiting to be cut, kigozes dobi, is as if it's cut already. And therefore, there's me'ila on it. Whereas the Tana Kama, omay sova, lav kigozes dobi. We don't view it as omed ligozes, kigozes dobi. No. Is it physically cut or not? Right now, it's not. So there's no din of me'ila. No. When you cut it, there'll be a din of me'ila. And that, in fact, is what the machlokas is, and has nothing to do with our machlokas from yesterday's shir. Now Gemara says, "Le mohani tanoi kahani tanoi." Let us say this machlokus between the Tanakam and Shemuel Leo parallels the following machlokus that we had in a Mishnah from Shavuos. The Mishnah Shavuos says, "Ditznan Reb Meir Omer Yesh Dvarim Shehem Kikarka." The Einon Kikarka. There are some things that have the halachic status of karka, but they're not fully kikarka. What does this mean? So Rashi explains that when we say that Yesh Dvarim Shehem Kikarka, it means they are considered Mechubarim Lekarka, they're physically considered attached to the ground, the Eina Kikarka, but in another aspect, they're not considered like they're attached to the ground like their Karka. Veina Kikarka, Rashi says, that we have a rule, the Kaimalon, Einish Boyin, Al HaKarkos. The rule is that if somebody's modi b'miksas, the famous rule, shua daraisa, if somebody admits to half of something, then he has to make a shua called modi b'miksas, a shua daraisa. So if a person Reuven lent Shimon $100, and then Shimon claims that he paid back $50, and he only owes him $50. Reuven says, no, you owe me the full $100 still. So Shimon is modi to half of it. He says, I do agree, I owe you 50, but I paid you back 50. So therefore, I only owe you 50. So that's called modi b'miksas. He's admitting to part of the claim of Reuven, and when you admit to part of the claim of Reuven, for various reasons, there is a requirement for a shvua. This is called shvuas modeh b'miktsas. So here, Rashi's explaining what the Gemara says, v'einon kikarka, means that there is no din of modeh b'miktsas. The kaimelon ain't nishbarim lakakos in regards to normal karka, but halalu nishboyim bodas miktsas ataina. But in this situation, Rav Meir says that while it's considered karka in some ways, it's not considered karka in other ways, and therefore, in this situation, you do have to swear a shuas modeh b'miktsas. However, the Mishnah continues and says that the Chacham disagree with this opinion of Rav Meir. The ein Chacham modlo. So what's the case that we're talking about? So let's say, for example, Eser Gifanim to Unos Mosarti Loch. Reuven says to you, I gave you, Shimon, 10 Gifanim, 10 vines that were laden with grapes. And Vahala Omer, and Shimon says, no, Einon El Chamish, you only gave me 5. And therefore, that is a Modeh B'miktsas. Reuven says 10, Shimon says 5. So Rav Meir is Mechayev you for a Shuas Modeh B'miktsas. The grapes are attached to the ground, so shouldn't we consider them like karka? So that's exactly what Meir says. They're karka in some aspects, but ain't karka in other aspects, so they're considered not like karka in regards to the din of shuas modeh b'miktsas, and Meir would be mechayev Shimon in this situation to swear that he wasn't given 10, that he was only given 5, because he's modeh to the 5, but he's not modeh to the other 5, and therefore there's a shuas modeh b'miktsas, and even though it's attached to the ground, Meir is mechayev. The Chacham Omrim, and the Chacham say, no, call him Chubil Karka, since it's physically still attached to the ground, the grapes are still attached to the vine, Hariyuka Karka has the same halachic status as the vines themselves, as the ground itself, and therefore there is no Shuas Modeh B'miktsas. Karka doesn't have Shuas Modeh B'miktsas. Now, how does this parallel the machlokas that we just had a moment ago between the Tanakam and Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel? So the Amar Rabbi Yossi Baruch Hanina, Rabbi Yossi Baruch Hanina says the anovim that we're dealing with over here, ha'omdos li botzer ikur b'nayu. These are grapes that are about to be gozus. They're omedli gozus, and do we or do we not view them as kigozus domi? These grapes are fully ripened, and the only thing preventing them from being harvested is the person harvesting them, but they're ready to be harvested. So they're omedli gozes. And therefore, in this situation, the Rabbi Meir Savar kibitzuros damyam, they're considered as kigozus domi. They're considered as if they've already been harvested. And therefore, let us say that Rabbi Meir holds like Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel, who says also, Omi Kigazus, Kigazus Domi. So therefore, let us align Rabbi Meir with Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel, and Rabbanan, let us align them, Sabrei Lav Kibitzurus Damim, they hold like the Tanakam of Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel, that Omi the Gazes, Lav Kigazus Domi. So to over here, the Chachamim would disagree with Rabbi Meir, say no, they're physically attached, even though they're Omi the Gazes, we don't consider them as the Gazes, therefore they're like carcass still. So let us align this Machlokas between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim to be exactly like the Machlokas between the Tanakam and Shimon Gamaliel. Again, we align Rabbi Meir with Shimon Gamaliel and the Chachamim with the Chachamim, the Chachamim with the Tanakama of Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel. So Gemara says Lav Davka. Rabbi Meir could hold like the opinion of the Chachamim, the Tanakama of Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel as well, because Afilu Tema Rabbi Meir. You could say that Rabbi Meir would agree in regards to the case of the hair. There is no din of Me'ila. There wouldn't be, in regards to the hair, the idea of Omei the Gozes Kigozes Domi, as opposed to, by the grapes, there would be. Why should there be a difference, according to Rav Meir, between the case of the hair, where he would agree with the Tanakama of Rishon Gamaliel, that Omei the Gozes Lav Kigozes Domi, whereas by the grapes, he says Omei the Gozes Kigozes Domi. What should be the difference between the grapes and the hair, in terms of saying that Omei the Gozes, why should there be a different din of whether it's by the hair, he would agree that it's lav kigozus domi, and by the grapes, he would say that it is kigozus domi, because ad kan lo kama Rabbi Meir ha'asam ela b'anav, because Rabbi Meir only says in regards to the grapes that they're considered kigozus domi. If they're omedli gozes, they're considered as if they're already harvested, because the kama de kaimen michashay gechishe, because the grapes actually do worse. The longer they're on the vine, once they're fully ripened, they actually deteriorate. If you harvest them, that's better for them. And therefore, with the grapes, omedli gozes, they're about to be harvested, so it's in everybody's best interest to harvest them. And therefore, by grapes, we view them as if they've already been harvested, because the longer they stay on the vine, once they mature, they actually do worse. But hair is not like that. I will talk in regards to the hair doesn't get worse if it's longer. It will grow longer. It will grow and grow and grow. So, kama dekoi ashbuche mashbach, in regards to the hair on a person's head, it will continue to grow. It will continue to be mishabeach. It will improve the more it's on. So, therefore, we don't view the hair as omedli gozes. Kigozes domi. No, it's not kigozes domi. It will keep on growing more. Whereas the grapes, it is considered kigozes domi because it's only going to get worse. So, therefore, you can't align the machlokas in Rebbein, the Chachamim, to the machlokas of the Tanakama and Rishim Gamaliel, because hair is not the same as grapes, and therefore, lav davka, that one machlokas is totally on the other. In fact, everybody, Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim, could agree that by the hair case, omedli gozes is lav kigozus domi. Gemara now goes back to the Gemara that we had yesterday, where we brought down a memra in the name of Rav, that if a person was mafkir his eved, so then the eved goes free. Now, Kisolik Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef, when Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef came from Babel to Eretz Yisrael, so Omar Lahai Shmaisa de Rav Kamei de Rav Yochanan. So he said the Shmaisa of Rav, which is that if you're Mafkir and Eved, so the Eved is considered free, and he said this in front of Rabbi Yochanan, and Omalei Omar Rav Hochi, and Rabbi Yochanan responded and said, really? Did Rav really say that? Now, the implication of that is Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with Rav, and that Rabbi Yochanan would seem to say that if somebody's mafkir the Eved is not free. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? Who Omar Hochi? Rabbi Yochanan doesn't agree with Rav? Why is he questioning Rav like he's astonished? Rashi says, Eloshon Bismia. He's amazed that Rav said this, right? Doesn't make any sense. Rabbi Yochanan himself says the same thing. Vama ulam Rabbi Yochanan habach giravdo yetzil cheres b'tzarach get shichur. That Rabbi Yochanan himself said exactly like Rav. So why is he so surprised that Rav said it? Rav said just like him. Rabbi Yochanan, as reported by Ula, said that if somebody is mafkir his eved, the eved goes free yetzil cheres, and he adds b'tzarach get shichur. So the Gemara says, why is Rabbi Yochanan seemingly shocked that Rav could say such a thing? He said the same thing. So Gemara says, you're right. This is where Yochanan, when he heard from Rav Chiya bar Yosef that Rav said this, he didn't say it as a statement of, how could Rav say that? He said, oh, Omar Rav Kavosi. He was saying, oh, I'm glad to hear that Rav said like me. I didn't know he held like that. I'm thrilled that Rav said like me. So it's not a lush of bismillah like we thought in the Havamina. It was a straight out statement. Oh, did Rav hold like me? I'm so happy. Okay, that's teretz number one for what Rav Yochanan said. According to the teretz number two, Vika Diamre, that lo saimua kame, that Rav Chiya bar Yosef didn't finish off the statement of Rav. All he did was tell Rav Yochanan that Rav said, if you're mafkir your eved, the eved goes l'cheres. And that's all. He didn't say anything about requiring a get shichur. Rav had also required a get shichur. But he didn't say that. Lo saimua kame. He didn't complete the statement. As Rashi brings down, in Dibur Mas lo saimua kame, lemil say de Rav kula. He didn't say the full statement of Rav. He only said, ela ki Rav Yosef amro kame de lo siyem ba mishmei de Rav. He didn't finish off. Vitzarech get shichur, he didn't say. He didn't say that second part of the statement, Vitzarech get shichur, in front of Rav Yochanan. Even though, bar mina le'el, we had in yesterday's Gemara, the Rav Chiya bar Avin, siyem ba mishmei de Rav, Vitzarech get shichur, that in fact, Rav's opinion was not only that the Evi goes free, but Rav also required a get shichur. So, when Rav Chiya bar Yosef said over this member of Rav in front of Rav Yochanan, he only said the first part of it, that in fact, Hamavkir Abdo Yetzel Cheres, but he didn't have a chance, or he didn't say the second part, Vitzarech get shichur. And that is what Rav Yochanan responded to. When Rav Yochanan only heard the first part of the statement, Amalei, he said, the low Amar Rav Tzarech get shichur, doesn't Rav also require that he should have a get shichur? And Rav Yochanan obviously held that way because Rav Yochanan Taimei, the Omer Ula Omer Rav Yochanan, Amavkir Abdo Yotzil Chayrus, but Vitzarech Get Shechra. So he was surprised that Rav didn't seem to also require a Get Shechra because the absence of saying that implies that Rav would not require a Get Shechra, that the Eved is considered free, Eved Yotzei L'Chayrus, and would not require a Get Shechra. So when he didn't hear that Rav Chiya bar Yosef said in the name of Rav that he requires a Get Shechra, he just assumed that Rav didn't require a Get Shechra, and that's what he was surprised at. But in fact, Rav also held exactly the same way as Rav Yochanan, that not only is the Eved free, but there is a get shichur requirement in order for the Eved to go and marry. The Eved is free, he can't do work, and therefore there is a requirement, however still, to have a get shichur to allow him to go marry a Jewish woman. Now let's go back and dissect this statement that Rav Yochanan made, which also was a statement of Rav. So Gufa, Amar Ulo, Amar Rav Yochanan, Amar Krav, Lo Yetzel, Lecheris, Vitzorach, Get Shichur. Okay, so you require both of these things. When you're mafki the Eved is free. He no longer has to work for his former master, but he requires a get shechur if you wanted to go and be able to marry a Jewish woman. So the Gemara questions this. Why is that necessary? Esei Rabbi Abba li'ula. So Rabbi Abba asks Ula the following. If you have a ger shemes. Now, a ger is a wonderful person. He becomes Jewish, but he has no relatives. He's a ger ki katan shenolad dami. His biological parents are no longer considered his inheritors. And therefore, this ger shenolad ki katan dami has no relatives. Every other Jewish person who's born a Yid, so you trace back his lineage all the way back to Yaakov Avinu, and he'll have a inheritor. It might be his 13th cousin, 14 times removed, but he will have relatives. But a person who is Misgayer has no relatives. He can't trace his lineage back. He can only go forward. So in other words, if he has children, his children will inherit him. But he doesn't have brothers, he doesn't have parents, he doesn't have grandparents, he doesn't have great-grandparents. So therefore, if a ger dies without having any children, so there is no one to inherit him. Every yid will always have somebody to inherit him because you keep on going back. If there are no children, there are no brothers, so there are no uncles, there are no great-uncles, so you keep on going back. Eventually, you'll find a great-great-great-great-uncle's great-great-great-great-grandson, so that'll be the closest relative. So a ger doesn't have that. And therefore, the Braisa tells us, if a ger nebuch passes away, ger shemeis, so uvizavu yisrael nechosav, all of his property is now hefker, and anybody who takes it, call it kol b'zocha, whoever gets it first will be zocha, unless he gave it away before his death. He gave it away before his death, so then the person who gave it to it gets it. But if he didn't give it away before his death, so he dies essentially without any inheritors, so then kol hakodem zocha, whoever gets it first is zocha to it. Now, what happens if the ger owned not only property, but he owns slaves? So if in his estate, which is not inherited by anybody, because there is nobody to inherit it, and there were slaves there, whether they had been gedolim, ben ketanim, whether they were gedolim or whether they were ketanim. So Kanu Atzman B'nei Chorim. According to the Tanakhama over here in this Braisa, so the Avadim are Kona themselves. As Rashi says, in Dibur Matzu, Kanu Atzman. Hein kodmim lechol odom lahachzik bi'atzmo min ahefker. So they, as soon as the ger dies, so they simultaneously now are kona themselves. They precede anybody else having the ability to be kona them. So therefore, instantaneously, the Tanakhama says, when this ger dies, and as Rashi points out, I said it myself outside, the ein lo yorshim, he has no yorshim, the chol nechos of hefker. So everything, including his slaves, are now hefker. So therefore, the avadim are kona themselves, and they become b'nei chorin. And Abba Shul comments on this, and he says, Abba Shul says, no, Omer, Gedolim, the ones who have the ability to go and acquire themselves are only the Gedolim. So, Konu Gedolim, the Gedolim, Konu Atzman B'nei Chorin. So they become free people because they were Konu themselves. However, the Kitanim don't have the ability to be Konu themselves. Kitanim, Kola Maksik Bohen, Zocha Bohen. So Abba Shul says, the Kitanim, Ein Lehem Yad Lezakos B'Atzman, Rashi says. They can't acquire themselves. So whoever makes a kidding on them first will acquire them. So Abba Shul disagrees with the Tanakhama. Tanakhama says even the Kitanim slaves are able to be Konu themselves, whereas Abba Shul says that the Ketanim don't have the yad, they don't have the ability to be calling themselves. Now, Rabbi Abba continues and he says, V'chi mi kosav get shirchur li'elu. He says, wait a second, you're telling me that Rabbi Yochanan requires a get shirchur, but you, Tanakama, who say that the Avodim, Ben Gedolim, Ben Ketanim, are in fact going to go and acquire themselves. And even Abba Shol says the Gedolim are going to acquire themselves, but Rabbi Abba, yes, Ula, how could you say in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Hamavker Avdo Yetzel Cheres Vitzorah Get Shichra? So here there is no Get Shichra. V'chi mi kosav Get Shichra li'elu. Bein the Tanakama for the Gedolim and the Ketanim. Bein Abba Shol for the Gedolim only. Who gave them a Get Shichra? The Ger died. Nobody owns them. Who gave them the Get Shichra? So Ula heard this question and he said, Rabbi Abba, you really haven't looked into this sugya well. So Ula responds back to Rabbi Abba and he says, Omar, Domi Haimi the Rabbanan. He was talking in the third person about Rabbi Abba. He didn't want to say you're an idiot, but he basically said, it appears to me that this Surva be the Rabbanan, this Talmud Chacham Rabbi Abba, Kedelo Garmi Inshe Shmaisa. It doesn't look like you really fully understood the Gemara over here, this Brisa. Because why the time of Mai, why did Rabbi Yochanan, who normally requires this slave who has been freed to have a get shichur, why does he say when you're mafki the Eved, not only is the Eved free, but you require a get shichur, why over here does he agree and say that it's not a problem? Because Omar Rav Nachman explained, Kisavar Ula held in the name of Rav Yochanan, that Avdo de Ger ki Ishto, that an Eved of a Ger has the same halachic status like the wife of a Ger. And Ma Ishto Mishtalcho below get, just like when the ger dies, his wife doesn't need a get. Nebuch, she's an amana. And therefore, there is no requirement for a document. She's an amana. So too, Af Avodov Mishtalchim below get. So too, the Avodim of a ger. So when they, unfortunately, when the ger dies, so then the Avodim are freed and they don't require a get. So Rav Nachman explains that this Brisa equates the dinim of the ger's eved with the ger's wife. And just like the wife goes out when the eved dies without requiring a get, she's an almana, so too, the eved goes out without requiring a get shichra, he just goes out and he's a free person. So therefore, Rav Yochanan, in general, holds that if the former owner is still alive, the owner was mafkir his eved, so the former owner is still alive, so then he does have to give a get shichra. Just like if the wife is divorced, she's only divorced with the get, so too the eved only goes out to full freedom if there is a get shichra. But that's different than the case of the brisa, where the ger dies. That would be the equivalent of the baal dying, and the wife goes out without any sort of a get. Where it says, ihachi, if you're comparing over here the avadim to the same halachic dinim as the wife, so then I feel Yisrael Nami. So then, how come when a Yid dies, so his slaves are inherited by his children? Why don't we say, just like when the Yid dies, his wife is now an Amana, she doesn't require a get, so too, when a Yid dies, so his Avadim Kinanim should go free, they shouldn't be inherited to his children. If you're comparing the Avadim and the wife in terms of the way that they leave the relationship, so then it should be by a Goy, who's Miskayer, the same din as by a Yid, who's born a Yid. So one says, no. Omar Kwa, because here we have a pasuk that tells us not to. The pasuk says, "V'snachaltem osom levnechem acharechem loreshes achuzah." It says, "Bedavka by a yid that his children will go inherit the avodim." So therefore, there's a special din by a yid that says that even though the wife goes free, when the husband Nebuch passes away, she doesn't need a get in that situation, she's just an Amana. So too, in that situation, there's a special din to tell us not to compare the Avodim to the wife, because it says, Visnachaltim osam levnechem. Here it says specifically that your children will inherit those Avodim, as opposed to the wife who does not need a get, the Avodim would need a get in order to go free, otherwise they're inherited by the children. Where it says, okay, if that's so, ihachi, so then hamafkir avdo umeis. So then, if a person is mafkir his evet, and then he dies, so then nami, in that situation, he was mafkir the evet, and he was still alive at that point in time, so the children didn't inherit him, but now he dies, so then, in this situation, the evet is no longer part of his Yerusha, so in this situation, the evet should not need to get shichra. Okay, if you want to tell me that's the case, so, alama ramema, what did a mema say? That hamafkir abdo umeis, also evet elo sakana. That evet's up the creek without a paddle. That evet is in trouble, because he can't get shichur from his master because the former master died. And he doesn't belong to the ocean because he was mufkar. And therefore, he's stuck. He doesn't have anyone to give him a get shichur, but he can't go and get married to a Jewish woman without the get shichur. So he's stuck. Also, evet, ain't lo takana. So Gemara says, you're right, 100%. The amemer, this din of amemer, is kasha, is very difficult to reconcile with the opinion of Ula Amar Rav Yochanan. Okay. Gemara goes back and discusses this in a little bit more specifics. Amar Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi, Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi, Amar Rabbi Shulman Levi, said over the name of Shulman Levi, Halocha ki Abba Shul, in this brisa that we just brought down, where the Tanakhama said that both the Avodim who are Gedolim and the Avodim are Ketanim, if the Ger who is Mizgayer, who owns them, dies, so then all of them are Kona themselves and they all go free. And they don't require a get in that situation. The ger died, and they have the same status like the wife, just like the wife's an amana without requiring a get, so too the avadim, they acquired themselves and don't require a get shichur to go and marry a Jewish woman. That is what Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi said over the name of Shuvan Levi. He passed like Abba Shaul, that only this only applies to the avadim gedolim, but not to the avadim kitanim. And Amalei Rav Zeira, Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi, Rav Zeira said to Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi, this din that you said over the name of Shuvan Levi is problematic. We turn to Lamed Tes Amud Beis. He says, "Beferish Shmi Aloch." Did you hear Rabbi Shuvan Levi actually paskin it this way? Oh, Miklal Shmi Aloch, and then we have a problem on it. Or did you hear it from some implication from what Rabbi Shuvan Levi said, and then we could possibly schlug it up? Now, what was this implication? My klala, as Rashi points out, Me'ez Klal Yesh Li Lilmod the Kabayis Minoy Miklal Shmi Aloch. Because if you go and say that it's from a klal, then we could ask questions on it. If he said it beferish, then there's no questions to be asked. But if you're learning it out from his other statements, then we could go and ask Akasha on it. So what was this klal that you're suggesting might have been the reason that Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi said this over in the name of Shuvan Levi? So the Gemara says, my klala, Rav Yaakov Bar Idi, questions Rav Zeira, says, which cloud did you think I was referring to? So Rav Zeira says, the Amr of Shuvan Levi, the Shuvan Levi says, Amru lefnei Rebbe, the Talmidim said this din over in the name of, in front of Rebbe. If a person said, Amar, nisya ashti miploni avdi. If a person says, I've given up hope of getting back my evet. So Rashi brings down, this is Loshon Hefkehu, the person's evid was lost or was taken or whatever it may be, and the original owner, the Baal, says, I'm Misyayish. And that is equivalent, Rashi says, to saying that he's Mafkir the evid. So the Talmidim asks in front of Rebbe, what is the halacha if a person says, I'm Mafkir my evid, Nisyayish to be ploni avdi? What is the halacha? And Amalem Rebbe told the Talmidim, Omrani, I say, my opinion is, I mentioned yesterday, this is very strong when Rebbe says, Or I need, that's his whole gestalt. He says, I feel ain lo takono el bishtar, that he is freed. However, he's not yet able to marry a Jewish woman unless he gets a get shichur from the master himself. Now, the Amar Rav Yochanan said, my time of the Rebbe, what is Rebbe's rationale? Because Gomar law me'isha, he learns the gzereshava of law me'isha. Now we have on the Amud Aleph, this gzereshava is explained, and you can see this in Dibra Maskul, Abdo de Ger ki Ishto. And Rashi explains over there that the Kosav law sefer, it says by Isha, you shall write for her law a sefer, and then it says, Ohu Pasha lo nitan law. So this is dealing over here with a woman who was a slave, and she wasn't given a get shichur. She wasn't given this document, this shtar, that says she's meshuchreres. Now, this Zerishava, Ryokun tells us, is the reasoning behind Rebbe. Gomar lo me'isha. So ma isha bishtar, just like a woman has to normally leave a marriage with a get, if her husband is alive, so she requires a get, a document, so to af eved nami bishtar. So we make this comparison between the slave girl, when she goes free, so she requires a document, just like if a woman is married and the husband divorces, so she requires a document to break up that marriage. So we make this gzeir shabbat of law, Rabbi Yochanan says, to explain the din, why the shifal kinanis over here requires a get shichur. Now, here's the question. The kodaikis mina ki'isha. So Rabbi Zeira now says that based upon this din, the Rav Yochanan said in the name of Rabbi Shua ben Levi that the kodaikis mina b'isha ma isha isura velo mamona af eved nami isura velo mamona. So you're making this comparison, this gzeir shava between the isha and the shivcha kinanis, and you have to go and say, just like the woman is only in regards to isurim, is she married or is she not married? But it has nothing to do with the monetary obligations between her and her husband. As Rashi says, the Diva Baschel, the Kor Daikis Minah, she says, Kivan, the Rebbe Me'isha Yolif, since he learns out the din of the Shifcha Kinas requiring a get from the halachas of the woman requiring a get, so Lo Ayri Rebbe Ella B'mafkir Eved Gadol, Sheyesh Lo Yad Liknos Atzmo. He is only talking here about a Gadol, like Abba Shol, Umishev Kiro, Ain lo olav elo iser. So when he's mafkirim them, there's only the iser aspect. Avo lo mamon ki isha zu she get shelo ain abal avkia mamon mi da raisa. The get just separates the husband and the wife. Sheish lo olav the obligations from isurim elo iser. Avo be evid katan lo airi rebi the lab dumya the ishahu. In regards to the katan, it's not similar to the woman. Dika durara de mamona ale, because there's also financial obligations. Over the day, svirale, yesh lo takana b'shivcha de lo kana atzmo behefker. And therefore, bottom line is, we only compare the shivcha kinanis to the woman in regards to isurim, but not in regards to mamonos, because there is no, on a derais level, obligation of mamonos here. It's just the marriage, just the isur, that she's not allowed to marry somebody else. She can't be with somebody else. So that's what the get does. It removes that. So too, when you're meshachrer, the shivcha kinanis, so it removes, over here, that aspect of the relationship, but not the financial aspect of the relationship. Meaning that the get is required for the isurim aspect. This woman right now is also to go and marry a yid, but if you give her the get, shichur, so now she is mutter to marry the yid. The isurim are totally in the get, but not the financial. He could just be mafkira, and then he doesn't have any financial connection to her anymore. So therefore, there is a difference between, Rav Zeira explains, and this was his question to Rav Yaakov Ridi, did you hear Beferish, the Rishu Malevi said that this is the din of Abba Shol? Did he Beferish say it, or you're learning it out through this idea of the comparison between the Shivcha Kinanis and the wife, but that's only for Isurim, and therefore I would slug it up. It has nothing to do with Mamonos. So how does Rav Yaakov Ridi respond? So he says, why is there a problem? Vimi Klala, my, what's the problem? So Rav Zeira fully explains, and he says, Amalei, no, Adarabba, if this was through the klal, so then, dok mino li'idach girsa, then you would learn out the exact opposite din over here. Ma isha ben gedola ben kitana, she goes free with a get, whether she's a gedola or a kitana, so to the eved, af eved, nami ben gadol ben katan, the avadim that belong to the ger, whether they're gedola or kitanim, not like Abba Shol, they would go free no matter what. And therefore, both of them would go free, but both of them would require a get shichra in order to go marry a yid. So therefore, if it was from this implication, so then you have a problem. How can you say that Rabbi Shua ben Levi holds like Abba Shol if it's only through this implication? That was a quite convoluted and involved proof to get to the answer. Did you learn it that Abba Shol said this directly, the Rabbi Shua ben Levi said directly that we possibly like Abba Shol, or was only through this implication? Because I could slug up the implication. So Rabbi Yaakov really said, no, I heard it directly. Amalei, beferish merely. So I heard it directly. The Rabbi Shua ben Levi said this, that we possibly like Abba Shol, and therefore your roundabout suggestion that, in fact, he doesn't hold like that isn't true because he said it beferish. Okay. We have almost an identical type of a discussion now with Rav Chiya bar Abba in the name of Rav Yochanan. Rav Chiya bar Abba Amar Rav Yochanan ain't halacha like Abba Shaul. He says the halacha is not like Abba Shaul. And Amalei Rav Zera l'Rav Chiya bar Abba bepei Rishmi Allah or Miklol Rishmi Allah. So he asked him the same thing. When you're saying that Rav Yochanan said the halacha is not like Abba Shaul, did you hear him beferish say so? Or was there a klal over here and you're trying to learn out from his other statements that he in fact doesn't hold like Abba Shaul? Exactly the same question like we had a moment ago. But here we just have the opposite conclusion that he says the halacha is not like Abba Shaul. So the Gemara goes through the discussion again as follows. My klala, what exactly were you thinking, Rav Zera, that would be the klal? That's what Rav Chiya bar Abba asked to Rav Zera. And Rav Zera goes through the same shaka v'tarya again in a slightly different fashion. And he says, the Amar Rishon Levi, Rishon Levi said that the Talmidim said in front of Rabbi, Amar Lufnei Rabbi, Nisya Ashti Miploni Avdi Mao, if the person essentially is mafkir his eved by saying, I give up hope of ever getting the eved back, what is the halachic status of the avodim? Then Amar Lam, so Rabbi told the Talmidim, Omar Ani, my opinion is, Ein lo takana ela b'shtar. No, the eved, while he's free, because he was mufkir by the Rabbi, by the master, by saying that nisya ashti, but nevertheless he requires a get shichra. And on that, Yomer of Yochanan, my time with the Rebbe, what is Rebbe's rationale? Again, this Zerushava, Gomer, law, law, me, isha. My isha bishtar, av evad am bishtar. He makes this comparison to say that just like the woman requires a get to go out of her marriage if the husband's alive, so too the evad requires a get shichra to go out of the impermissibly to marry a Jewish person and requires a get shichra to go and marry a Jewish person. So if this Shivcha Kinanis wishes to marry a Jewish person, it's not enough that she's been mufkar, but she requires a get shichra as well. Now, what's the klala that we're trying to say over here, that if you didn't hear it beferish, that I could slug this up? The kodaikas minoki isha, and we're making the comparison, as Zeri says, over here between the Shivcha Kinanis and the woman who's miskareshes, so my isha ben gdola ben ketana, just like the woman, she can be divorced with a get, whether she's a gdola or ketana, so too av eved nami ben gadol ben katan. So too, the eved will acquire himself, whether he's a gdola or katan, and would require a get shichra, no matter what, in order to go and marry a Jewish woman. So therefore, what do you see from over here? That the halacha is not like Abba Shaul, because he says this applies to both a gadol and a katan. So that's what he says. Now, how would this slug up everything? How would you slug this up if, in fact, this was the klola that he learned it out from and not, in fact, beferish shmira li? So, Rav Zera would say, in that situation, you're not correct. Because adarabi, the exact opposite implication could be had. Dok mina, go and look into this and say the exact opposite. Lahach kisa. Ma isha isura v'lo mamona. You could say, no, by the woman, it has to do only, is she married, is she not married? It has nothing to do with financial. So, av eved nami isura v'lo mamona. So then by the eved as well, it just would require the get shichra only in terms of, can he marry a Jewish person? But has nothing to do with mamona. And therefore, the eved would not acquire themselves. And therefore, the halacha would be that, if it was only miklala, that the eved would not be able to acquire himself, neither like the chachamim, and certainly not like Abba Shaul. So therefore, Rav Chiya bar Abba says back to Rav Zera, no, in this situation, beferish shmili, I beferish heard that ain't halacha Abba Shaul, and it's not through this implication. And therefore, like we had in the first version of this, the answer is that he beferish heard it from the opinion of Rav Shmuel Levi. In the first version, it was that the halacha is like Abba Shaul. In the second version, the halacha is not like Abba Shaul, but each time it was beferish said, because each of the implications could be schlugged up. Now the Gemara continues and says, Amar Mar, we go back and discuss what we said previously, that Rebbe told his Talmid, Amar Lehem, Omar Ani, Ein Lo Takana El Bishtar. He says, in this situation, where the owner was Nisyayish, i.e., he was mafkir his eved, so the eved is now freed, but cannot marry a Jewish person until there is a get shichra. Ein lo takana ela bishtar. He requires that get shichra. So the Gemara questions and says, wait a second. We learned in the following brisa in yesterday's shir, where we said, Rebbe Omer, Omer ani, af hu no sein demei atzma v'yotze. We said yesterday that if the Baal HaBayis, who owned this Evet, was Makdish the Evet, so then the Beis HaMikdash, the Gizbor, has the right to go and sell this Evet to somebody else, and the Evet will belong to that other person. Or, Rebbe said, not like the Tanakhama, Rebbe had said that the Gizbor could even sell the Evet to himself. If the Evet had money that was not owned by his previous master, that money the Evet could use to go and buy himself back. Because it's as if the Gizbor, the base Hamikdash treasury, sold the Eved to himself, and therefore he can buy it. So obviously you see that Rebbe does permit this Eved to be purchased and go and seemingly go and marry a Jewish woman without a get shechur. So it looks like Rebbe doesn't require a get shechur. So Kasha, Shemur says, no, Hachi Kama, this is what Rebbe said. Oh, because of a bishtar. In general, an Eved can be given the permissibility when he's free to go and marry a Jewish person, either bekesef o bishtar. As Rashi says over here, the Yomasa o bekesef o bishtar, takanoso shel Eved, who's freed, deha iskush pidyon kesef bishtar. The psukim tell us, dechsev, the haftei lo niftosa, o chupasha lo nitan lo. So we have over here a comparison between a get and the money. In other words, this slave who has now been mufker, so v'hai paka le kaspe. So the Rebbe, the master, has no control over him because the monetary aspect has gone away. And therefore, Rebbe holds that once the monetary aspect has gone away, that also gives permission to the Eved to go and get married. Now, you can do this with a get shichur, or you can do it with a monetary freedom. So therefore, when the Beis HaMikdash, the Gizbar, goes and allows this Eved to buy himself, so it's not a problem that it doesn't give him a get shichra, because he bought himself with kesef, and buying himself with the kesef, so that is the equivalent of the shtar, and allows the slave to now go and marry a Jewish woman. But in general, if the Rebbe was mafkir the Eved, if he freed the Eved, so there is no financial aspect over there, so then there is no kesef that's being given over, so then the only way is by a shtar. So therefore, in general, Rebbe holds that you need to get shechura, but if there was a financial payment that was made to free the person, so then in that situation, the Eved doesn't require get shechura, because we have the connection between kesef and shtar. Either one will allow the slave to now be freed and marry a Jewish woman. But if there was no kesef given over, then you require a get shechura. And ulafuke mehai tana, and this is as opposed to the following Tanoic opinion. The Tanoic, we learn the following brisa. Rabbi Shimon omer mishum Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Shimon says the name of Rabbi Akiva. Yochol ye kesef gomer, but you might have thought that money could go and allow this woman to go and be freed as a slave woman and now go marry a yid. Just like Kiderek Shishtar Gomerba, as we all agreed that a get shichra allows her now to be a fully fledged, free Jewish woman, and she go marry a yid. So you might have thought the kesef works the same way, exactly as Rebbe had explained through this Gzei Rishava. So therefore, Talmud Lomar, v'haftei lo niftasa. So therefore, the Pasuk says that v'haftei, she was redeemed, however, lo niftasa, she's not fully redeemed. And therefore, this Tana holds, Rabbi Shimon, in the name of Rabbi Akiva, Ora kol ha-parsha kula lo chuposha. And he says the entire parsha here says that the slave woman is not, in fact, considered fully emancipated. And therefore, Rachman al-Islan, if she had committed adultery, but she was an isha charufa le'ish, so she was married as a slave woman to her husband, who she was allowed to marry for various, depending on the circumstances. And in this situation, the parasha tells us that she's not considered a freed woman, and neither she nor her adulterer would be chayiv misa, since she wasn't a fully freed woman. And this comes to teach us, loma lucha, said shtar gomer ba, v'ein hakesef gomer ba. So even though she had been partially freed with money, Rabbi Shimon, in the name of Rabbi Akiva, says she's not considered fully freed, and therefore this shivcha charufa le'ish is in fact not going to be chayeves misa, nor is the adulterer going to be chayev misa, because the kesef didn't make her into a full-fledged free person who was allowed to go and marry a yid, and therefore she's still only considered a shivcha charufa le'ish, and therefore, in this situation, you clearly see that Rabbi Shimon, in the name of Rabbi Akiva, disagrees with Rabbi's understanding. Thus, the Gemara says, Lo malacha shtar gomer ba ve'en kesef gomer ba. Okay, so that's the machlokus. Gemara continues and says, A member over in the name of Amar Rami Bar Chama Amar of Nachman, the halacha is Rabbi Shimon. We pass him here like Rabbi Shimon in the name Yishum Rabbi Akiva. However, Rabbi Yosef Bar Chama, Amar, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yosef Bar Chama said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, no, ain't halachi Rabbi Shimon. These two brothers, Rabbi Yosef Bar Chama and Rami Bar Chama, disagree as to what the halacha is. The first opinion is the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon. Second halacha is, the opinion is the halacha is not like Rabbi Shimon. Mark Ketina says, Ashikhi Rav Nachman by Yitzhak le Rava Bar Sheilta. Rav Nachman Yitzhak once found Rava Bar Sheilta. The Havakoi Apisco de Beitvila. He was standing by the entranceway into the shul, into the Beis HaKnesset, the Beitvila. And Amalei, he says, How do we paskin? Halacha or in halacha? what is the halacha? Is it like Rabbi Shimon or not like Rabbi Shimon? So Amalei, he said, Ani omer ein halacha. So Rava Bar Shilta said, I personally hold that the halacha is not like Rabbi Shimon. However, the Rabbanan, the Asu Mechuzah Amri, but the rabbis that came from Mechuzah, they say, in the name of Rabbi Zera, Amr Rabbi Zera, Mishmei, the Rabbi Nachman, that the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon. Furthermore, V'chiyas Soil is Surah, when I myself, this is Rava Bar Shilta talking, when I came to Surah, I found Reb Chiya Bar Avin and I asked him, Armi Le, Emily Easy. Tell me a Maisa. Now, Easy is a word that's a hard word to translate. Different opinions as to what it means. Some suggest that it just is like, why don't you tell me something or tell me something now? Others say Easy was the name of a person and tell me what Easy said. In any event, he said, Gufa the Uv de Hechiyava. What was the actual Maisa Shahaya from which the Chachamim understood that Rav Nachman paskins, we said, Rav Zeira said, Mishmei the Rav Nachman, that the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon. So this Rav Chiya Bar Avin said, Amali, he told to Rav Bar Shilta, Amali told him, Dahi, so that once was a slave woman, Dahava Mara Shriv Meira, and her owner was on his deathbed. He was a Shriv Meira. And this woman had been his faithful servant all her life, and Asya Bachya Kameh, and she went crying to him and said, "No, I've been your faithful servant all your life, now you're going to die, let me go free, please." Amrulay, she said to him, "At Amas Tishtabed Besezil Hayitza, how much longer am I going to have to be a slave? You're going to pass away now, I served you faithfully, please free me." So he was willing to do so, but he didn't do it appropriately, as the word will tell us. Shokal Kumse, he took his hat, Kumse Rashi tells us, is Kovo, his hat, and Shadaba, and he tossed it to her. And Amala, and he said to her, Zil Kni Ha, go and acquire this Kova, this hat that I'm tossing to you, and simultaneously, Ukini Navshech, and also acquire yourself. In other words, I'm setting you free with sending you this hat. So they brought this Maisa to Rav Nachman. That's what we said. What is Rav Nachman? Where do we see that he holds Allah is like Rav Shimon? And also coming to Rav Nachman, and Amalu, Rav Nachman said, Lo asa velo klum. This didn't, unfortunately, effectuate anything for this poor woman. And when this Shriv Meirah passes away, she would go as part of the Yerusha to his children. Now, how do you see this? Mon chaza sava mishum dalachi Rav Shimon. Now, Rav Bar Shilta said that the Chachamim there understood that Rav Nachman paskin this way, Amalu, Lo asa velo klum, because they assumed, sava mishum dalachi Rav Shimon, that the lach follows Rabbi Shimon, who said that yes, she acquired herself via a monetary acquisition, but she still needed a get shichrur. And therefore, while she actually may have been free, she wasn't yet free to go marry a Jewish woman. That's how they interpreted that Rav Nachman said, Amalhu, lo asa lo klum. However, that was incorrect. Velohi. In fact, Ela mishum dahavale kalev shomakna. The reason why it didn't work, it would have worked otherwise, because we don't paskin like Rabbi Shimon. It would have worked, and she would have gone totally free and been allowed to marry a Yid. But the reason why it didn't work was a technical reason, because the hat belonged to him. So she acquired this hat, but it belonged to the Baal. And therefore, he can't do this kinyan with him still owning the hat. And therefore, she wasn't really able to acquire the hat, and she wasn't able to acquire herself at the same time. As Rashi explains, based upon the Gemara saying Velohi, El Mishum Dahavale Kelu Shomakne, and that's why it didn't work. So Rashi says the Dira Maschu Velohi, Ha the Amali, the Rab Nachman on Alocha is like Rabbi Shimon. That is incorrect. El Ein Alocha. In fact, the Alocha is not like Rabbi Shimon. Why? Because they misunderstood over here. They thought, Kama Kidamino Midatoi Afmidi Shibud Lo Yosas. In fact, Rabbi Shimon says, not only is she not capable of going and marrying a Jewish man, she still was a full-fledged slave. She didn't acquire herself even to become free. As Rashi says in the next Dira Masul, the Havalei Kalev Shomakne, the Kaimelon Perkazov, the more above the sea, it tells us, Perkazov, the Hilchas of Kirav, we pass in over there like Rav, who says, the Omar, be Kalev Shokonov, that you make an acquisition, it must be the person has to own that item. In order for the Kinyan to take effect, this is a Kinyan Chalipin, so he has to own that item that he's getting. And this is a machlokes as to who has to give the item. So when you're having Reuven give something to Shimon, so is it Reuven or Shimon that has to have the kinyan chalipin come from his possession? So we paskin there like Rav, that the halacha is that the one who is receiving it has to make the kinyan chalipin. So it would have to be her hat in order to make this kinyan chalipin that she should acquire herself. So therefore, in this situation, Rav Nachman actually holds, when he said, Lo Asav Lo Klum, it was nothing. It not only didn't allow her to go and marry a Jewish man, it didn't make her a free woman, and she still is an eved to the Yarshim of the Shchiv Meira. Rashi then adds further, how come we don't say Divrei Shchiv Meira Kiksuvim Umesurim Dami? So why don't we say that we should just follow the intent of the Shchiv Meira? He intended to go and free her, so why isn't she free based upon that? So Rashi gives a very important teretz, and he tells us that in this situation, Mishum Divrei Shchiv Meira Leka, because that only works when he did not intend to make a kinyan. When the words of the Shchiv Meira are, go and do this, so then you go and do it. But he says, go and make a kinyan, so then he's essentially saying, I don't want this to work via Divrei Shchiv Meira, but I want it to work via the kinyan. And if the kinyan is no good, then we ignore the words of the Shchiv Meira, and we say the kinyan was no good. Shari Lo Tziva, he didn't say that I want her to acquire herself as Divrei Shchiv Meira. He said, Ela B'Kinyan said, via this hat, this Kabi L'Shach, where he wanted to free her. And that was unfortunately Bahari who told us that was a mistake, and therefore Divrei Shchiv Meira don't work. Finally conclude the Gemara with Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Achisoy, Amar Rav Nuna Saba, Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Rishon, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav Amnuna, all this list of Amaroyim said, the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon, halachi Rabbi Shimon. However, the Gemara's final conclusion is v'lohi. In fact, the Gemara concludes, ein halachi Rabbi Shimon. I know this was somewhat of a complicated shir and a long shir. Baruch Hashem, we've come to the conclusion. Have a wonderful day.